Radhe Radhe Govinda. Methods of doing that, we exercise, do yoga, we pick up hobbies like golf or listen to music, go for a run, do some meditation. These are all ways that we try to manage our stress. And certainly they're helpful. But tonight we're not just talking about managing stress or getting a temporary relief from stress. We're talking about eliminating stress. And in order to eliminate stress, you have to get to the root cause. And when we do that, we will see that stress is not the actual problem. Stress is merely a symptom. So, trying to control stress won't eliminate stress because, well, it's like if you have a brain tumor and you take an aspirin for your headache. You get a temporary relief, but you're not really addressing the problem. So going for a jog to relieve you of some stress, it's definitely a good thing, but you're not addressing the root problem. Why do you have stress? And is it possible to eliminate stress altogether? So what is the source of our stress? There's kind of a root ball at the source of all of this. So we can examine this from a couple of different perspectives. One is intellectual. Intellectually, we don't know who we are. Who am I? So this is an existential problem. And we may not analyze it to that depth, but that's actually true for all of us. We all really wonder, who am I? And where do I belong? We're always trying to fit in. We're always trying to figure out how to act and behave so that we'll finally feel like we are home. Do you notice that you don't even feel home in your own home? Even the home you grew up with, even if you had loving parents and a loving family, you never felt 100% at home. I always felt that, who am I? Where do I belong? Everybody feels this. This is a tremendous source of stress. Where should I go? What should I do? Who should I be? What is the aim of my life? So this is one of the things at the root of our stressfulness. And another thing is that we're not happy. The two are actually connected. At our core, we are not happy. We want to be happy, certainly. We plan to be happy. And you could actually say that our each and every act is performed with the goal of reaching perfect happiness. That creates a stress inside of us as well. We feel some kind of lack, but a lack is like a very weak way to explain what we really feel inside of us. We feel that something is missing, something so important that without it, we're incomplete. We call it happiness. So at the root of all of this, we are unhappy. Even when we enjoy brief pleasures of this world, even that doesn't cure that inner void we feel. We still feel, even when enjoying the best things of this world, even when you're in the arms of someone who loves you the most, there's still fear. What if this person stops loving me? What if they leave me? And even if that fear isn't prominent, there's still a feeling, this isn't enough. That creates a great sadness inside of us. Even this isn't enough. I have love. I have wealth. I have everything a person should want in this world, and it's not enough. So all of this combines to create this ball of, well, it's the root problem. Who am I? Where do I belong? Why am I unhappy? Why can't I find perfect happiness? Why am I always dissatisfied? This is the source of all of our stress. If we could, so it's both an intellectual problem and an experiential problem. If we could solve our intellectual problem, that existential problem, who am I, and also get the experience of true happiness, then we've cured the problem at its root. So like I said, this sounds like a very ambitious project, but in fact, if we take it step by step, it's very realistic. It's very possible. So let's examine the intellectual side first. We all doubt, who am I? Do I belong here? Or do I belong? That's why the grass is always greener somewhere else. I'm with these people, but would I be happier with those people? Do I actually belong over there? I'm in this job, but would I actually be happier in that job? Where do I belong? Who am I? So, this is something that even if a person thinks about for their whole life, trying to figure out who they are, we can't answer this question for ourselves. Which is kind of humorous if you think about it. I mean, it's ironic. We want to know who I am, who we are, and yet we can't answer that question ourselves. We need help to answer this question. The help comes from our scriptures. Our scriptures, Vedic scriptures, Ved Shastra, they tell us, first of all, that well, let's start with this. You are not the body. This is what our scriptures tell us. You are not the body. Ajo nitya shashvatoyam purano nahanyate hanyamane sharire Shvetashvatra Upanishad. The body dies, but you don't die. So you are something other than the body. See, the scriptures tell us this, but we can also know logically. You see someone, you knew them, just a few minutes ago they were alive, and now although the body is lying there, they are no longer there. They died. Their body died. So you can logically deduce that whatever that individual was, it's not this body. Because the body's still here, but they're gone. Where did they go? I don't know. I didn't see them leave, but they're no longer here. So we're going to get rid of this body. But this mantra from Shvetashvatra Upanishad says, you are not killed by the death of the physical body. So you're something more than the body. Okay then, I must be my mind. You're not your mind either. Because when you go to sleep at night, you enter into a state called Sushupti Avastha. In this sushupti state, you're even beyond dreams. Before that, you go through a dreaming state, swapnavastha. In that state, your mind is still active, your subconscious mind. But when you go into sushupti, then even the subconscious mind becomes quiet. Your whole mind merges into a completely inactive state. During this time, we actually do get a relief from stress, but it's only temporary. It only lasts for as long as we're in this sushupti state. Even when you're dreaming, you still feel stress. So the dream world is not a relief from stress, but that deep dreamless sleep, that's a relief from stress. It's a relief from all thoughts, all feelings. But then you wake up. So when you wake up, you feel, okay, I'm the same person I was yesterday. I'm the same person who fell asleep last night. And I'm the same person who was dreaming. And I'm the same person who is in that deep dreamless sleep of which I have no recollection. And now I'm the same person who's awake. So I was continuous throughout, even when my mind technically wasn't there during deep dreamless sleep. So I am not my mind either. I am not my body, and I am not my mind. Then what am I? Our shastras tell us that we are souls. We are atma. The atma is the true identity. So the thing that feels stress is not actually you. It's your mind. The thing that feels pain, physical pain, your body, that's not actually you. This is your sthul sharir, your gross physical body. The mind is called your subtle body, because while you're inhabiting a body, the mind actually takes more or less, in a subtle way, the shape of your physical body. So it's called the mental body or subtle body. We call sukshma sharir. But the soul is neither the physical body nor the subtle body, nor even the karan sharir. See, during pralay, when the whole universe is dissolved, souls, along with the whole world, merge into God temporarily until creation happens again. During that time, your sthul sharir, the physical body, is eliminated, and even the sukshma sharir, the mind, is dissolved back into the mayic energy. At that time, your karan sharir remains, the causal body, which is actually an extremely subtle covering around the soul, which is made up of our vasanas, our desires, our sanskars. That remains during even Mahapralay, but even that is not you. So you are not the physical body, you are not the subtle body, you are not the karan sharir, the causal body. You are the soul, which is beyond all of those. So this is part of the intellectual puzzle, understanding that we are souls. Now, where do we belong? We know we don't die when the physical body dies, but we keep going on and taking birth after birth, getting a new physical body each time, getting a new face, a new look every time. So this body is not me, and even my mind is not me, although it's a part of my personality. I am the divine soul, but where does the divine soul come from, and where does it belong?
Chinmatram Shri Hare Ransham Sukshma Maksharam Avyayam Krishna Dhinamiti Prahur Jivam Jnana Gunashrayam.
Ved says, technically speaking, souls are a part of God. The word used here is Ansh. And God is called Anshi. So now the scriptures are telling us to whom we belong, where we come from, and where we belong. God. We're actually a part of God. Ansh means a part of. So substantially speaking, we're the same as God. We're related to God. He is divine and we are divine. That's why we're sentient beings. Because God is a sentient being and we are a part of His family. We're just like Him in this way. Although He exceeds our limitations in every other way, but in terms of our substantial existence, we are made of the same substance He is. Sat-chit-anand, divine substance. So we know that we are a divine soul and we belong to God. Each one of us has existed since eternity. And although we've lived infinite lifetimes, donned infinite bodies, and died infinite times, had infinite different families, infinite different husbands and wives and kids, but one constant has always been there. God, Shri Krishna, has always been with us. Shri Krishna is Paramatma. He lives inside of us. Eko deva sarva bhuteshu gudha sarva vyapi sarva bhutantaratma. Shvetashvatra Upanishad says, He's not only all around you, He's even within you. So, this is the other part of the intellectual puzzle that we're missing. We feel alone because we forget that Krishna is with us. We feel stressed out because we don't know who we are. So we have to remember, I am the soul. I am a divine soul and nothing can destroy me. I have nothing to fear on a soul level. Something may harm my body. Nothing can harm my soul. Nothing can destroy me. I have been here forever. I will be here forever. No matter what happens to me in this life, I will always remain. And Krishna will always be with me and within me. So I'm never alone and I'm never apart from Him. Doing manan of these few facts that I just shared with you, this is part of what we need to do to begin to eliminate stress. This intellectual understanding has to go deep into our mind. I am not this body. The things happening to me in this world, they're a part of my life, but they too shall pass. I am eternal and indestructible, and I belong to God. I'm a part of Shri Krishna. He is mine, and I belong to Him. When this idea, well, as deeply as this idea enters one's mind, that much we will become impervious to stress. So this is the intellectual side of the puzzle. And one thing I forgot to mention is when I conclude this lecture in a few minutes, there will be a chance for some question and answer. So just keep it in mind. If you think of anything that you want to ask me in a few minutes when I finish, then we'll have a chance for some question and answer. So we covered the intellectual side. What can we intellectually do to address the root cause of our stress? So we have to accept these facts that I am a divine soul and I am a part of Krishna and He is always with me. However, intellectual understanding on its own is not enough. We need to experience something. What is that? Happiness. When you feel happy, you don't feel stressed. Now, we've never felt 100% happy, therefore we've never been 100% free from stress, except temporarily when we're fast asleep. We can't stay asleep forever. And anyway, our true goal in life is not just to be free from stress, it's to experience happiness and joy. So instead of thinking, how can I relieve myself from stress and pain, we could just think, how could I find happiness? If we could find happiness, then the relief from stress and pain would be automatic. If you're happy, then it's understood that you're not stressed out. How do we find happiness? Well, happiness is none other than God. Anando brahmeti bijanat. Taittiriya Upanishad says, God himself is happiness. Part of our stress is that we're looking for happiness and failing to find it. And that makes us feel desperate. Why is it my life is going by and I've yet to find perfect love that can make me feel completely happy? My life is going by and I've yet to find that experience that makes me feel whole and complete. So we have to find that perfect happiness. The temporary pleasures of the world that every one of you experiences, you know they've never been enough. So thinking that getting more of the same is going to make you happy sometime in the future, that's not a logical approach. You've already experienced so much of this world, not only in this life, but all your past lives. In past lives, you've been a king, you've been a queen. You've been famous, powerful, you've been a beggar as well. And yet here we are. So these things, which we could even call trifling things, trivial pleasures of this world, which we desperately want to enjoy because we feel a hole inside of us and we're trying to fill it with these things, they can never fill that hole, because that hole is actually the desire to be one with God. Not just be one with God, but be in union with God, you could say, to experience God wholly and completely. You see, every part will continue to feel incomplete until it's joined with its whole. God is our whole. Krishna is our anshi. We are his ansh. This is a law of nature. You know that, see, we could say that if this were a clump of earth, this is like ansh, and the earth is the anshi. This is the part, and it belongs to the whole. Right now it's feeling incomplete. It's separated. The ansh is separated from its anshi. How do I know it's feeling incomplete? Because there's an attraction. The only reason these two are separated is I'm holding it here. If I release it, it automatically is pulled towards its anshi. We also feel a pull towards our anshi. We want to join with Shri Krishna. That is the source of our feeling of incompleteness. Every soul is a part of God and wants to experience God. And God is perfect happiness. That's why we feel that tremendous, that tej icha, that intense desire to experience perfect happiness. That's why nothing in this world can satisfy us, because the worldly things are temporary and they're material. But our true self is divine. So material pleasures can't satisfy the divine soul. Only divine God can make us feel complete. Divine happiness would be experienced as perfect happiness. God's love would make us feel perfectly loved. No person in this world can love another perfectly because we ourselves aren't perfect. Until we become God-realized, we're always incomplete. So this is the experiential side. Both the intellectual side and experiential side go hand in hand. In other words, you need to understand the intellectual theory, what we call tattva-gyan. Who am I? How am I related to God? Where do I belong? Where is perfect happiness? But then you also have to experience that perfect happiness. The ultimate experience comes when you become God-realized. So to become God-realized, you have to follow the path to God. The path to God sounds like something you would do if you lived in the jungle somewhere, or if you lived in an ashram, which some of you do, but most of you don't. But in fact, the path to God can be followed by anyone, whether they live in a family situation or an isolated situation. Because the path to God has to do with loving God, and it's done internally. It's done with our mind. So just like your mind is continually loving the people that you're attached to in this world, you can use that ability of the mind to stay attached to in one place while you're physically taking care of some other activity or duty. You can use that ability of the mind to be able to love Sri Krishna even while you're engaged in worldly life and family activities. This topic I'll go into in more depth tomorrow when I talk about how to master the mind. And along with this topic, we'll be talking about meditation and what is this path to God. How do we get to that ultimate experience that would make us feel perfectly happy and thus eliminate stress forever? Along the way, while we follow the path to God, it's not a long, empty path with only the payoff coming at the end. No, the path to God is a path which is actually full of experiences that keep bringing you closer and closer, a growing experience of God's presence within you and in your life. So what I'm saying is, this is a way, by following the path to God, it's a way of gradually filling that void, gradually filling it with a connection with Sri Krishna, where we gradually start experiencing divine happiness in a small way. And that grows and grows and grows. And simultaneously, our intellectual understanding grows. So naturally, our feelings of insecurity and stress reduce as this devotional experience goes on expanding as we follow the path to God. So I'll expand on this topic tomorrow during the Sunday morning satsang, which will be from 11 till 12:30. So during this time, I'll give a talk on mastering the mind, doing meditation, because meditation is an integral part of the path of God realization. So we'll discuss all of that tomorrow. And now we'll take a couple of minutes. If anybody has any questions, we'll take a minute and give you a chance to ask. We have a wireless mic so everyone can hear your question. But yeah, raise your hand again. So.
Hello. It was a very nice topic. I enjoyed it. I just have one question. Because we talk about spirituality in general. Spirituality is one way where we think that being thankful for what we have, does it actually help us to make our stress go down? Is that part of spirituality? Having the ability, because as humans we all have desires. So being thankful for what we have in life, does it actually make us being more, less stress?
I would say that's part of having a positive outlook. Being thankful for what we have is part of several things that we could keep in mind to maintain a positive outlook. But what we want to do is go even beyond that. We want to create a real connection with God that goes even deeper than just being thankful for the material things we have, but where we actually start feeling divine God's presence with us. So that's a much deeper goal.
Hello. So when I close my eyes, and so sometimes I feel, okay, I am a soul, I am not a body. But the problem starts when I interact with the world. When I go to the job, when I meet my friends, meet my enemies, mm-hmm. and meet my wife even. So how the practice can help me to remember at that situation that I am a soul and not the body. And so what kind of practice I can do to detach from that world?
The path that I'll be describing in tomorrow's lecture, the path to God, which includes the practice of meditation, which we do here, by practicing that every day, what ends up happening is that spiritual consciousness, which you referred to, where you have some awareness of your divinity, that spiritual consciousness has to be integrated into our material active life. And initially the two don't integrate, but the more we practice, the more that spiritual awareness becomes almost like our baseline. It becomes our regular waking consciousness. But that takes time. It takes practice. And it actually happens naturally. So the more the meditation we do here is a very specific meditation called Rup Dhyan, where we meditate on God himself. So by doing this, we create and deepen a connection with God. So while you're doing the meditation, eventually you start experiencing something in a very deep way. And in the beginning, again, you get the disconnect. As soon as you stop your meditation, the world just takes over. But eventually, over the weeks or months or years, if you keep practicing, that actually spills over into your, like the tide rising. It starts spilling over into your material activities or your material consciousness, you can say. But it's a process. It takes time. There's no easy way. There's no like shortcut or trick. You just have to keep practicing until that enters your daily waking consciousness.
I wonder if you can tell us how to stop getting happiness from the wrong things. Be it eating, sleeping, laziness, drinking, what have you.
Mm-hmm. Recognizing that those are temporary pleasures is part of it. But the real effect comes when we start, remember I was saying we have to get some experience of God, and it starts small and grows. So the more experience we get by following the path to God, and the bigger that experience becomes, the more space in our heart it takes up, and the less interest our mind has in those types of pleasures that you were describing. It's not wrong for the mind to want happiness or pleasure. It's our nature. Because God himself is happiness and we're a part of him, so we naturally desire happiness and pleasure. But the thing is, we're seeking it from the world instead of seeking the divine happiness from God. So until the mind starts experiencing that happiness, it's never going to let go of the material pleasures. So don't worry too much. I mean, have the knowledge about the limited nature of the material pleasures, but don't worry about forcefully making the mind leave those things. Think more about how can I attach my mind to God and start experiencing devotional happiness, devotional pleasure, and that will create a natural transition where your mind will naturally start becoming more interested in God than the world. Any other questions? Yes, here.
Hi. As you said, being intellectual, stress can be managed or stress can be reduced. What about like emotional intelligence? Like when you are in stress, your emotions can go up and down, and that it's really difficult to control emotions. Like it can be visible to your face, and it's a different situation while working, yeah, while at home, anywhere in the world. So how we have to control the emotions, like two theories you suggested, like being intellectual, but like emotional intelligence is a completely different thing. How we combine with spirituality?
There's two things. There's eliminating the root cause of that emotional volatility, which is the very same we were talking about. The root cause is the same, that we're separated from God and we're unable to experience God. That's what creates that volatility in our emotions. So the solution is also the same. The more experience of God's closeness we have, the more level-headed we'll be. So that's the addressing the root cause, but since that's a gradual process that takes time, in the meantime, we also have to have some techniques for managing our emotions. So those techniques are fairly simple. You know, many of you probably have your own techniques, but one way that Jagadguru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj used to tell us that, if you feel some reaction coming on and you want to try to control it, so the first thing you can do is try to just think, Krishna is watching me right now. So how would I behave in front of Krishna? Or maybe you're feeling angry at a person. So then not only feel like Krishna is watching me, see Krishna in the heart of that person. Then whatever that emotion was, it's going to calm down immediately, if you can really do that. It's possible. Sometimes we are so angry we don't even want it. Krishna may be there, but I don't want to see him. I want to be angry at this person. Then nobody can help you, right? But that's a technique that if you can actually implement it, you don't need any other technique. Oh, I'm having this emotion. It's going to be a destructive emotion. I better manage it. Okay, see Krishna in this person. Or Krishna is right here watching me. Then that takes care of the problem. Maharaji also taught us one breathing technique. He called it Radhe breathing. So, shwas shwas se Radhe Radhe ka jap karna. He says, you inhale and you say Ra, not out loud, just in your mind, in your heart. You say Radhe, Radhe. So, in Braj, where Radha Krishna took avatar, everybody says Radhe Radhe for everything. For hello, for goodbye, for getting somebody's attention, for everything is Radhe Radhe. So we can use Radhe Radhe to help us control our emotions also. Just breathe in and breathe out and just say Radhe. So you're getting the effect of God's divine name, plus you're using the breath to command your emotions to settle down.
Radhe Radhe Bhaiyaji, it was a wonderful lecture. Right here.
Where? Who? Okay.
Okay. Surinder here. The question for you is, when the soul departs from the body, so is it instantly transferred to a different body or goes to Godhead first?
Doesn't go to God, actually. It stays in the material realm. And depending on our karma, someone could be immediately reborn in some other species or as a human somewhere else. or even in your own family you could be reborn, or you could go to Swarg or Narak, so and then eventually be reborn here on earth. So it's going to be different for every person, but unless we attained God in this life, you don't go to God and then go somewhere else. And God is managing the whole situation, but you'll just like go according to your karma. You don't go to God after dying.
Even the heaven also is like a temporary place to stay, right? It's not permanent.
That's right.
Thank you.
Hello. Today is my first day attending this kind of lecture, and I'm really pleased to hear. And today's the topic is really important for everybody, and this is stress out from the life, right? So as a day-to-day life, I was thinking about like whenever it is, I'm just talking about my life. So whenever I get the stress, by the time I get the pleasure also somehow, because I believe in the God. And I was thinking that happiness is kind of illuminating of my stress level, but I'm not, I'm a little bit confused whether this is from God, God's side, or is that the true happiness, or how do I take that kind of pleasure when I have a stress, too much stress in my life?
So the pleasure comes by remembering God?
I always remember God. Yeah, that's the reason I'm asking the question today.
So if you're getting pleasure by remembering God, this is a glimpse of the divine pleasure. It's a, depending on how much connection we have with God, we experience pleasure while remembering Him. And that's the real pleasure. That's the real happiness.
Oh, thank you so much. That's my question.
So now we have to know how to increase that so it stays all the time, which is what I'll be talking about tomorrow morning. So let us finish with a couple minutes of kirtan, which is actually a time to meditate. So I'd like you all to think about Krishna. Think about that tatvajnan you got, that Krishna, you belong to Him. You're the same. You're related to Him. And He's always with you. So just see His beautiful form and feel His presence with you. And we'll do a couple minutes of chanting while we all do our own meditation and try to feel close to God in this way.
Radhe, Radhe.
लाल की।